I'm hoping I'm not the only crazy one in the room here. I guess that's kind of obvious because I literally am the only one in the room right now as I record this, but you get the proverbial picture. Anyways, what I mean is when I was a kid, I would watch certain movies and I'd be like motivated, totally inspired. I would then step out from the living room where I watched them and I would begin to enact and embrace the character, the battle, if you will, of said film. I don't know, maybe I'm the only crazy one who's done that, but I got a hunch I'm not. In fact, I would love to hear from you right now in our comments. What were the crazy things that you did as a kid in reacting movies that would inspire or motivate you? Or just tell me the movies even. We'd love to just hear some of those thoughts. So for me anyways, it was 1994. It was the NHL lockout. Now, I never played minor hockey. I didn't have that opportunity. But I was a diehard Oiler fan, and I watched Hockey Night in Canada every week. And when no hockey was on, man, there was this void in my life. And that's where the watching and the rewatching and the watching again of the Mighty Ducks came into play. It was actually the same year that D2 came out in the arch nemesis Iceland were around. And we would head out after watching my brother and I and reenact the scenes. We would consistently be setting up knuckle pucks and firing them at each other. And we would form our own little two-man flying V and made memories as we were inspired and motivated and just longing to like embrace the characters, if you will, of the Mighty Ducks. In a silly way, this playful, childlike act that I'm sure I'm not the only one. Again, I'd love to hear it. In so many ways, reflects how I feel now as a middle-aged man longing to engage with this book, the Bible. I mean, the more I come to know Jesus, the more I see this as a living story. The story of God, God with us. I mean, we literally just celebrated that this Christmas, didn't we? That God is with us. It is His story. He is the hero. He is the main character. And oh, how I long to just be, sheesh, even a stand-in in one scene where I can be a part of what He's up to. And this is how I feel as I head into 2021. I just long to be a small little snippet, a stand-in even in His story. And my heart and my desire and my prayer for us here in Fort Alliance is that we really would be a people who are marked by the person and the presence of Jesus, that we're growing more and more each day in such a way that we know our experience and our study of this tells us that there's always more of Jesus and that more of Him just permeates through us. This is my heart. This is my desire as we get going. As we start 2021, today, January 3rd. Now, part of that, I've come to learn, is a embracing of what this book actually says in that there is one who is coming who's greater than I, Jesus. And Jesus then would go on to say, the Spirit will come. He will guide. He will counsel. He will lead. And we, God's people, desperately need a better understanding, a better experience, a better relationship with Holy Spirit if we're going to be marked with that palpable presence and person of Jesus. And I want us to move into that, to process that together. One of the ways we'll do that, as I've already mentioned, is via that Holy Spirit encounter. And I'm looking forward to doing that as a group. Now, I need you to know, and this is going to come out in just a moment, I know that that every single one of us are in a different place in our journey, in our walk with Jesus. And we're growing and we're processing the person of the Holy Spirit as well. And I want you to know that wherever you are at today, I'm okay with that. Jesus is good. He is kind. He is going to move you along at your speed. And as we begin to process, I need you to know, like, this took me, a good 7 years to finally settle in and be okay with talking about and processing with others who Holy Spirit is, because I came from a background where that just wasn't talked about that often. And so I don't expect any of you for a second as we get going, as we start to unpack things here today, to think, oh, Pastor Ken said it. We got to do it. No, I want you more than anything to draw near to Jesus and to process these things with him, with us. And I give you freedom to ask hard questions, to ask things that you feel like maybe you shouldn't even ask. It's okay to do so as we process this year and where we're heading as a fellowship. Now, all that said, I want to paint a little bit of a picture for you. In my generation, at least, okay? I won't speak for the church throughout the history of the church. In my generation, at least, it all too often presents itself as though there are two ditches in Jesus' church. There's the ditch over here that I will use this word as a means to just have a starting point, but I don't want this to anchor us, okay? The ditch here is that fundamental conservative ditch where we take this book and we say, I have the Bible. It's been spoken. God is done speaking to his people. This is it, the be all, the end all. Hold there. I'm coming right back to it. On this side, we have, again, I'll use a word. I don't want it to anchor us and like hold us in a place where we can't kind of wiggle and move together, but there's this ditch of the charismatic move where it's all about that next experience, that display of power, that Holy Spirit move, if you will. And it's pursued so much, pursued with such great effort that it almost becomes as though that experience, that act of power, is the sole focus of the people of the move. There's these ditches that have been set up. And I don't think for one second that was the intention of Jesus. Jesus said, there is a day coming and is now here that true worshipers will worship in spirit and truth. For me, I grew up in this camp, all right? And so you need to know I'm not speaking against anyone here. I'm merely speaking to my experience. Now, we would have never said this. We didn't even believe this, but we practically lived it out. In many ways, it looked like the Trinity was Father, Son, and Holy Bible. I mean, we knew the Spirit was God and that He is God and always will be God, but we just didn't talk about Him all that much because there was that kind of apprehension towards that camp, if you get what I'm saying. This is really important. This book is God-breathed. The Spirit Himself had a part in writing it. This ought to bring us much peace. Because this Holy Spirit will never contradict that which He's already spoken and brought to us here. There's this camp. And I now have met many and have friends who've come from this camp. And there's this sense, if you will, that if we just have more of Holy Spirit, we'll get there. That's this pursuit of an experience, and yet it's missing the perspective or the lens of, does this line up with Scripture? And this is really important to know, that as we already said, we don't have to fear or worry when it comes to Holy Spirit, because Holy Spirit will never contradict Scripture. He wrote it. And so we can pursue Him and seek out relationship with Him and experience Him and His move. And know that we are doing so in such a way that honors God and without fear, because Jesus wasn't fearful of Holy Spirit. In fact, He sent Holy Spirit. And so my heart, my desire, knowing that I've come from this camp, and yet that there's this understanding that we do need and have Spirit, is that I, that you, that we would somehow settle in here in the middle of the road, worshipers of Jesus who know both Spirit and truth. This is essential if we're going to come alive. By the way, we got these super sweet new hoodies. A little bit of our reflection of our logo. Come Alive, my favorite song, as I already said. And by the way, I didn't even request for that to go on there. It was as if I, like, after playing that song on repeat, kind of like put it in the minds of the designers, if you will, and now we have this shirt with this Come Alive, and man, how cool would it be if we really were marked as a church, as a people who are waking in a fresh way, fully alive with the palpable presence of Jesus. Like, whew, that would be cool. Anyways, if you want one of these hoodies or a crew neck, you can get a hold of us at the office. The hoodies are $50, the crew necks are $40. You're welcome to join us in the move, which is totally me ripping off what I was just talking about, but you get what I'm saying. Anyways, I share those ditches because as we find and process this middle of the road, more and more we're going to realize there's always more of Jesus. And as we recognize and process that, we gotta be sure, we gotta be certain that we're at the place where we know that if we want more of Jesus, we gotta move past where we were yesterday into what He wants for us today. And so hopefully we journey there together. We're gonna do something a little different, at least different for since I've been here. And the next months, we are going to go through the book of Ephesians. Now, this actually is my favorite way to preach. It anchors me fully into Scripture, which I love, and allows me to build week after week. But I want you to understand why we're going to do this, why we're going to get into the book of Ephesians. For me, in this finding of the middle, the church of Ephesus was like one of the foundational key pieces for me in working through my background to finding this place where I recognized I needed the middle when it came to Holy Spirit. This fall, I said, listen, the Christian Missionary Alliance longs to be a Christ-centered, Spirit-filled, mission-focused gathering. And so we focused on being Christ-centered and mission-focused. As we talked about our mission and our vision and our values. But now we're going to really look at what it means to be Spirit-empowered and do so by just simply going through the book of Ephesians. Ironically enough, though, I'm going to start in Acts. And I'm going to let you turn there to the book of Acts, wherever you're at, using your phone or pulling out your Bible. And we're going to start in the book of Acts because we're going to find the encounter that the people of Ephesus, whom which the book Ephesians was written to, first encountered Holy Spirit. And there's a lot that I think we can learn that I most definitely resonate with as we go through this passage. So as we seek to find the middle of the road and as we prepare to go through the book of Ephesians together, let's start by going to Acts chapter 19. And I'm going to start by reading verses 1 to 7. It reads like this. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior regions until he reached Ephesus, on the coast where he found several believers. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He asked them. No, they replied. We haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Then what baptism did you experience? He asked. They replied, the baptism of John. Paul said, John's baptism called for repentance from sin. But John himself told the people to believe in the one who would come later, meaning Jesus. As soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then, when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and spoke, and they spoke in other tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. So here we have Paul in Ephesus, and he shows up, and as our translation says, there are believers. Now, the literal word there is disciples. And as you track this word throughout this encounter here, you see that these people are genuinely God-fearing, God-loving people, that their heart deeply longs to know God and to walk with God. I have no doubts that this honored and brought glory to God. Yet they had yet to even hear the full message of who Jesus was. But Paul comes and starts with this. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? No, they replied. We haven't even heard there is a Holy Spirit. Let me settle there for a moment. Now, first, I know that I spoke into this to our physical gathering before COVID hit, so there are some of you watching who've already heard this. Hang with me. This is important because I just want to get our digital family all caught up and up to speed here. With that said, I also want to put this out there. You need to know that I am so grateful for the church that I grew up in. I have so many incredible friends and mentors from that fellowship that I count myself very blessed to have been part of my home church. I want you to know that I kind of now come to this stage where some of my mentors are passing away and I'm moving into this position where I'm a part of their funeral in some form or capacity. And as I do so, I weep because I am so blessed to have had them as part of my life. Please, for a moment, in what I'm about to say, know that I'm in no way disrespecting my home church because I love them and I always will. That said, this is why this is so important for me. Me and the people of Ephesus, we went to the same church. I mean, I feel like I grew up in that. I told you already, we would have never said it, but practically in many ways we functioned like Father, Son, Holy Bible. And I knew there was a spirit, but we never talked about him because we were kind of apprehensive of the, you know, wing nuts, if you will, from the other end of the spectrum. And yet, Paul starts there, and I love it. And I love that there's this gathering of believers or as disciples, which you can track throughout the passage, and you see their heart to know God, to love God, to walk with God. That not having known, not having experienced Holy Spirit, didn't mean they were any less. It was just a move of God bringing them into his timeline, and his plan, and his purpose as a gathering. And so when I realized There's a church even in the Bible that didn't know the Holy Spirit. I was like, I gotta dig in with these people. Because some of our experiences are all too similar. That's gonna come out in a bit more as well. If you're in that place where you're a little nervous or apprehensive as we kind of dig in as that Holy Spirit encounter approaches, hear me out. Again, I know I said this in the announcements, but I really want you to know I mean it. It took me years to kind of process and dissect and in many ways even unlearn some of what I had been mistaught. And Jesus is good and kind. He just moved at the speed I was ready. And so if not for a second do I expect any of you to just go, boom, pastor said it, let's do it. I just invite you to come along and walk with Jesus and through the scriptures see more and more of what it looks like to walk with him. And as we do so together, we will know and we will learn, and I believe with all my heart we'll experience there's more of Jesus. And that's what I want for us. And I pray Holy Spirit leads us deeper and deeper into that. Now, I get the people of Ephesus. But on this topic of finding the middle of the road, you need to know straight up, I do not get everything. There are some things that I still have yet to make sense of. But I'm so confident in Scripture and Spirit that I'm willing to walk the road and find the middle. Don't believe me? Let me keep reading, because I don't get everything that's about to happen right here. Reads like this. I'm going to read verses 8 to 16 now. Then Paul went to the synagogue and preached boldly for the next 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some became stubborn, rejecting his message and publicly speaking against the way. That's the followers of Jesus. So Paul left the synagogue, took the believers or the disciples with him. Then he held daily discussions at the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for the next 2 years so that the people throughout the province of Asia, both Jews and Greeks, a multi-ethnic gathering, I love it, heard the word of the Lord. God gave Paul the power to perform unusual miracles. When handkerchiefs or aprons that had merely touched his skin were placed on sick people, they were healed of their diseases, and evil spirits were expelled. A group of Jews was traveling from town to town casting out evil spirits. They tried to use the name of the Lord Jesus in their incantation, saying, "I command you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, to come out." Seven sons of Sceva, a leading priest, were doing this. But one time, when they tried it, the evil spirit replied, "I know Jesus, and I know Paul, but who are you?" Then the man with the evil spirit leaped on them, overpowered them, and attacked them with such violence that they fled from the house, naked and battered. Like I said, I still do not have all this stuff figured out. I don't even have all this passage here figured out. I trust the scriptures, and I fully trust Holy Spirit, and I want to walk in the middle of the road, but I'm still learning, and I got much to learn about how to understand passages such as these. That said, one thing I do know, I've experienced it, I want more, is that there is always more of Jesus. And if you want more of Jesus today, your experience, my experience, our experience is going to have to go beyond. It's going to have to transcend that of yesterday's. Here's what I already knew about Ephesus before studying on this passage further. I already knew that it was the home of the Temple of Artemis. Now, what you need to know about that is you can still visit these ruins today. I have yet to do so, but I really want to, and I hope to one day. It was a center, a massive center of pagan worship. Fast forward to today, 2020, now 2021. We are increasingly a spiritual people. There's a sense that people are searching and seeking, and they want to talk about that which is spiritual. Now, I want to be careful, and I want to clarify, not meaning a Christ-centered form of spirituality. See, there's this focus on an experience, but there's this missing part, the source, the one true living creator God, Jesus. Paul steps into the city of Ephesus, a people surrounded by spirituality, and brings them to the source. And I think there's much we can learn. For even today, in the midst of our spiritual culture, we must be, we need to be, I long for us to be a people who can take people back to the source. And may it just permeate through us as we find more and more of Jesus. As we sense and know the palpable presence, the person of the one true living God. Now, as I said, I do not fully understand how a passage like this took place, what it might have looked like, how that might have happened. But here's something I did learn that I didn't know about this. I'm going to just read from you from a commentary that I read. This is cool. It really brings to life this text. A number of magical papyri from the ancient world have been discovered. These consist of various spells that often invoke the names of foreign gods and employ various kinds of gibberish. In the Paris collection of magical papyri, various Old Testament terms are even found, such as Leo for Yahweh, Abraham, and Sabbath. Terms which would have sounded exotic to Greeks and Romans, the people of Ephesus. One spell that we found read this: I abjure thee by Jesus, the God of the Hebrews. Another from the same papyrus reads, Hail, God of Abraham, Hail, God of Isaac, Hail, God of Jacob, Jesus Christus, Holy Spirit, Son of the Father. Ancient magicians were syncretists. They would borrow terms from any religion that sounded sufficiently strange to be deemed effective. These Jewish exorcists of Ephesus were only applying this to their trade. Paul's spell in Jesus' name seemed effective for them, so they gave it a try. I mean, I didn't realize that there were actually ancient magical papyri that had terms from the Old Testament and used names of Jesus, and that here we see this traveling Jewish exorcist group using such phrases as a means to go about their work. I mean, how cool that there are ancient manuscripts backing up this manuscript of Scriptures. I love it. It's just when I find these things out, these things come alive for me in a new way. Now, I nonetheless still don't fully understand the whole handkerchief and apron and those things placed on people. I don't get it. But nonetheless, I know this, there's always more of Jesus. And when it's time for Jesus to show up, stuff changes. And Jesus isn't going to be stopped by any form of spirituality that is not of him. And he will do whatever it takes to fully reveal himself as the one true living God. And I'm so excited to begin to learn what this might mean and look like in the middle of the road as a follower of Jesus. For I long to be a person, a follower, a part of a fellowship that just on a greater level experiences the glorification of his name and experiences his power. And even though I maybe can't yet fully understand this part of the text, how it ends, that's the church I want to be a part of. That's a church that I believe Jesus is a part of. That's the place I believe Jesus is leading his church into in 2021. 17 to 20. The story of what happened spread quickly through all Ephesus, the Jews and the Greeks alike. A solemn fear descended on the city, and the name of the Lord Jesus was greatly honored. Many who became believers confessed their sinful practices. A number of them who had been practicing sorcery, much like we just read, brought their incantation books and burned them at the public bonfire. The value of these books was several million dollars. So, the message about the Lord spread widely and had a powerful effect. This passage starts off with, I get the people of Ephesus. That was my church. But it ends with my heartfelt prayer and desire for my church, for Jesus' church in 2021. Oh, that we'd be marked by the palpable presence and person of Jesus, understanding that there's always more of Jesus, that his name would be spread widely, and that he would have a powerful effect in our midst and in our community. I want to wrap up with this, and then I'm going to actually show you a testimony. I'm going to read to you from one of the books that you will receive for signing up for the Holy Spirit Encounter. It's called The Empowerment Pivot. And the clip that you will see is actually of one of the mentors of the author of this book. And so you'll kind of see a similar way, tone and a language in that. But hear this as I wrap up and then send us to this testimony. To pivot toward the infinite nature of God is also an act of repentance. It is to turn away and repent from our view of normal to his view of normal. It is to turn away from self and towards his face. It is to turn away from self-reliance, self-sufficiency, and self-absorption, and turn towards his infinite nature, holiness, sovereignty, power, and love. When our mortal being comes face to face with his presence, we experience the infinite, transforming work of Jesus. It is ever increasing. You cannot tap God out. There's always more of Jesus. And I hope and I pray that 2021, we might be able to look back on this day and see just how much we've grown in our walk and our reliance in Jesus. That we can say, his name has been exalted and glorified, that his power has been experienced. And if you want to join with me in prayer towards that very end as I wrap up, I invite you to do so now. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are so good and kind, and that you gently move us on this journey, this walk, where we come to know you more and more. I repent of my view of normal, of the things that I have thought about that are not even of your heart, of being so certain of a ditch rather than finding the middle. Forgive me. Forgive us, whatever that may have looked like in our life. And Jesus, walk with us as we learn the middle of the road, as we learn what your view of normal is. We want more of you, and so we open our hearts, our souls, our minds to more of you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's wrap up with this testimony. I'm sure it will bless you and challenge you.